You're listening to the podcast at First Assembly Church. For more information, check us out at firstassemblychurch.org.
How many times when we go into a situation do we say, Lord, what would heaven look like in this situation? What is the best that we can do to bring heaven into this moment? How can we do that? And we've all said it, there's no sickness in heaven. There's no disease in heaven. There's no demons that are going to have the privilege of doing whatever they want to do in heaven. Can I get an amen tonight? All right? That they're not going to do those things. They're not going to have that freedom. And if we want his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, then, man, let's get free of disease now. Let's get free of sickness now. Why don't we step out with the authority of the Lord and crush Satan under our feet like God's word promises that we can, and let's cast down the territorial spirits that are raging in St. Louis right now. Why don't we have those things now? Now, you guys know the thing that's so amazing about Jesus is he carries such authority, such power, such kindness, and such beauty, and then the way he's throwing out the message sometimes seems so casual. Even a little more than a guy that was brought up in church can accept sometimes. I mean, think about this. You've got this guy that comes along. He does some miracles, and then he says something like this, hey, repent, for the kingdom of heaven's near. And they're like, what? He's just opened blind eyes. He's opened deaf ears. Repent, the kingdom of heaven's near. Now, when I think about repent, I think about the way that I was brought up. You got to turn or burn, baby, right? How many are brought up with that kind of preaching? Well, you got to repent. You need to get down to this altar. You need to cry until you're out of tears. And you need to let God know that you're serious about your repentance tonight. Okay? Yeah. I was brought up that way. Was anybody else? And sometimes my mind will even default back to that if I'm not careful. And you look it up in the Greek, and we're not going to do a Greek lesson tonight, and all God's people said, thank God. Okay? But if you look it up in the Greek, and you look at the word repentance, and are you ready for this? Means a couple of things. Change your thinking and change your direction. Change your thinking and change your direction. Now, I'm not saying that sometimes changing your thinking and changing your direction doesn't come with a lot of tears, right? But ultimately, Jesus is saying, you're looking everywhere else for the kingdom. Turn over here. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is near, right? I mean, Jesus even said in Matthew 24, tonight I'm going to spend most of my time in Matthew 24. I'm going to reveal the Antichrist. I'm going to tell you how the one world government will be formed, the influence of the Illuminati and the Nephilim, the giants of Genesis chapter 6, and when they're coming back. I'm going to reveal all of that in the next 15 minutes. It's going to be amazing. But after I do that, and maybe I would skip to something like Jesus said, that all of these things are the beginning of birth pains. You're going to see a nation rise against nation. By the way, that even the ethnic battles that we see in our country right now, God's word prophesied there would be seasons like this. The Greek word for nation is ethnos. It's where we get ethnicity. And are anybody else kind of tired of all the ethnic battles that we have right now? It's because we need to ask God to bring some peace into the situation. It's not a black thing, it's not a white thing, it's not a this thing or a that thing. It's the enemy trying to bring division, because that's what he always wants to do. He always wants to bring division, okay? Jesus said that there's going to be nation against nation, in other words, ethnicity against ethnicity, kingdom against kingdom. The Greek word for kingdom is basileia. If you ever visited Faith Chapel, we say basileia. We pronounce it incorrectly, but we like it that way. Doesn't basileia sound better than basileia? I mean, really, think of basileia, basileia. Which one would you choose? Basileia, of course you would. So that's the way we say it. We know it's incorrect, but we have fun with it. Now, that word basileia is the word kingdom. It's also the word authority. You look it up in the scripture. Sometimes you might be reading, and he had all authority, and you dig in the Greek. You're like, oh, basileia. Sometimes he says, Your kingdom come, and you look it up, and you're like, oh, basileia, it's the same word. Kingdom and authority are the same thing. I was in Ireland for 3 weeks this year, and they don't pronounce their H sounds most of the time. Did you notice that? They don't believe in kingdom authority. They believe in kingdom authority. We have authority. And then we sing good, good fodder. He's a good, good fodder. All right? And I'm loved by him. So it's kind of hard for me to concentrate singing about my good fodder. Okay? When I think fodder, I think about the farm. Anybody else, right? So... But I love it when they release their authority. It's amazing when they do that. And Jesus said that nation will rise against nation, and kingdom, or basileia, authority against authority. Satan's raging right now, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus says there is a prince and a power of the air, and he is raging. But so often we forget he is already a defeated foe. Now, I grew up in the church. Don Brankle, an evangelist from Arkansas, would come up and say something like this. Now, remember, folks, and he would even say it in the King James, and I can't even quote the King James anymore. It's been so long. But he would say things like this. Remember, folks, I've read the back of the book, and we win. And I would always think, but we won at the beginning of the book. Okay? In the beginning, God created. Have you ever heard people say, Jesus and me, we got the victory? Jesus really doesn't need you to have it. Jesus had the victory before you showed up. Jesus wasn't there going, how am I going to get the victory? Oh, thank God, Brad's here. Maybe he wouldn't even say, thank God. He would say, thank me, right? Because it's Jesus, and he is God. Thank me, Brad showed up. Now, Brad and me, we have the victory. Okay? He has the victory. He's the ultimate authority. He is the I am who I am, the Alpha and Omega. He's before the beginning. He's after the ending. He is all things, and the enemy knows it. Man, he's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's eternal. I always thought that Satan was the opposite of God when I was a kid, but then you realize there is no opposite of God. There's only one eternal one. Everything else has been created. Right? He is because he is. You are because mom and dad weren't thinking and they made a mistake. And the next thing you know, here you are, right? And then they tell you that they love you anyway. Come on, right? They tell you they love you anyway. So it's amazing when you think about that authority against authority. He is telling us in the last days, you're going to see the enemy's authority. He's going to rise up. He's going to battle. But remember, the gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all nations, then the end will come. Now, I want to challenge us a little bit. I grew up in the Assemblies of God, and when I grew up in the Assemblies of God, we used to say, the Assemblies of God. And we would kind of go guttural with it. The Assemblies of God, right? It sounded holier that way, okay? And that's what I was brought up in, and we all the time talked about the gospel. I mean, how many believe in the gospel? But do you realize when we talk about the gospel that we're forgetting three really important words? Jesus said the gospel of the kingdom. He didn't just say the gospel of the gospel. See, gospel is the word for what? You all know. Good news. The good news of good news. Hey, I've got some good news for you. What is it? Good news. And they're like, spit it out, big boy. What's this grand news that you have? Jesus says the good news is the good news of the kingdom, the basileia. Well, what's that? Well, it's what we're told to pray for in the Lord's Prayer that we all memorized in fourth grade Sunday school class. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Now, when I think about kingdom, has anybody been to Disney World? Anybody here been to Disney World? Come on, let's have a confession. It's okay to admit it. It's all right to admit it. How many of you realize that a mouse has magical powers when they can take all of our money? Anybody else been taken to the bank by the mouse? Okay? So that mouse has some strong powers. When I think about kingdom, or at least when I used to, I might have had a tendency to think about a castle, to think about the fortress, to think about the walls. If you've ever went to Disney World and maybe you take the boat across, or you're getting there by the train track that's not really a train, the monorail, and you're on your way, and you look, I mean, that thing is spectacular looking. It is. And seeing it through the eyes of my daughters, my oldest daughter is going to be 17 this month, and the other one's going to be 13, which is, bless you, which is absolutely insane. But I remember taking them when they were little and just seeing them light up. Wow. When I think kingdom, it's easy to think that way. Because I grew up in the West. I mean, we don't have a king. Well, maybe we do. We're not sure what Donald Trump's doing. Maybe we have a king. I'm not sure. But I grew up in the West, so it wasn't about kingdom. It was about right to vote, right? We all get a vote. Democracy, we all get a say. And because of that, I have a tendency not to see kingdom the right way. The word authority, the word kingdom, actually didn't have anything to do with a castle, with a fortress, with the vats of wine and the resources of the treasury. You know what it really meant? it was reflected best in a king's scepter. How many remember the story about Esther going before the king? Remember what she told her friends? Fast and pray for me. The king hasn't called for me in I don't know how long, about a month, right? Hasn't called for me. But when she went and appeared before him, remember what he did? It says he raised his scepter. Many of you are doing it. You already know the Sunday school story. You know it. He raised his scepter. How come? It meant instant pardon. It was the authority of the king wasn't in the throne. It wasn't in the treasury. Yeah, he had a lot of money, but that's not where his authority was. His authority was in his DNA. His authority was in his bloodline, and the authority was reflected in the scepter. So pretend this mic is one of those, all right? And you lift up that scepter of authority. You lift it up. When Jesus said, pray for the authority of heaven, he wasn't asking for heaven to land on earth. Physical heaven on physical earth. He wasn't asking for the treasury to be poured out. What he was asking was, you need to have your eyes opened that there is an authority in heaven that trumps the problems of earth. There's an authority in heaven that absolutely squishes and squashes the authority of earth, and it defeats the demonic, it destroys the disease, it annihilates the sickness, it heals the broken, it fixes the broken heart. There's an authority of heaven. You need to ask for that authority to be released on earth. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Oh, you better believe it is. I watched my daughter this summer. We were in North Dakota. How many of you have ever been to North Dakota, eh? All right, we were up in North Dakota at Devil's Lake, North Dakota. And we were praying that it would just become Lake North Dakota before we left. All right, we wanted to lose the devil out of it while we were there. And I was there, it's hysterical. I'm 48 years old, not that this had to be an age confession moment, but 48 years old, balding, I'm not cool anymore. How many remember when you were cool? Or at least you thought you were cool. How many remember thinking you were cool, okay? I remember having a time I thought I was cool. Those days are long gone. They're not cool anymore. I actually have to wake up in the middle of the night and go to the bathroom now. So for those of you that have been there for a few years, you're like, now just wait, young man. Eventually you'll have to do it six times a night. I won't. I'll just get like some sort of bladder system at that point. There's no way I'm getting up six times a night. We'll have a waterbed. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we'll just move on. But so I'm not cool. I'm not impressive. I can't dunk a basketball right now. I mean, if you put it down at 9.5 feet, yes, but not at a full 10. So, I mean, I get it. Now the Lord uses me to go and speak in youth camps. Really? Now, Lord? 48, balding, scar on the forehead, can't dunk a basketball. Now you use me? But it's just been like the biggest delight of my life because I take my children and I get to be a spiritual father. And I don't preach the Monday night salvation message and the Tuesday night Holy Spirit message and the Wednesday night called into ministry. I don't do that. We just kind of let the Lord direct what he wants to do. And I'll never forget, we had a young lady this summer. Her name's Azra. Azra was born in Baghdad, Iraq. And when she was 2 years old, a car bomb went off in Baghdad. And shrapnel hit her right eye, and she lost her sight in her right eye. And my daughter Sophia, not only is she bold, but she also doesn't pick up on some of the social cues that most of us pick up on. How many have a friend that they are your friend, but they can get in your personal space without even knowing that they were there, right? They might drop over to visit, and they're opening your refrigerator before you even know they got in the house. You know what I mean? Sophie can be that kind of a young lady. And so she sees Azra. She meets her on the first Monday night, and she goes, hey, my name's Sophie. What's your name? She goes, my name's Azra. She goes, what happened to your eye? I'm like, that's great, Sophie. Way to be so, you know, sensitive to that. Because I always love it when people said, hey, what happened to your head? And I'm like, you know, my mom used to scrub me on the floor, and there's a whole abuse situation or whatever. And so Sophie's like, what happened to your eye? And Azra tells her the story, and Sophie goes, well, the kingdom of heaven's at hand. That was her response. I thought, man, she's getting it. The kingdom of heaven's at hand. She goes, why don't I lay my hands on your eye? She goes, okay. So she laid hands on her eye, and she began to pray, and she prayed for about a minute. She goes, is it better yet? She goes, I think I'm seeing something. Sophie goes, really? She goes, yeah. She goes, I think I'm seeing something. She goes, well, let's pray again. Well, about this time, my worship pastor, who went with me on this trip, picked up on what was going on, and he just went over to make sure that Sophie didn't push her over or kick her or anything while she was praying, because she watches crazy preachers, and so you never know what's going to happen, right? Have you ever sang the song, To Be His Hand Extended, and some people believe in it, right? So you just want to be careful about that. And they, Sophie prayed two or three times, and wouldn't you just know that the Lord opened that eye? Just absolutely opened that eye. And we had so many kids that accepted Christ that week, so many kids filled with the Holy Spirit that week. And one of my favorite stories was Azra, as she was texting and sending emails throughout North Dakota. She's got 20/20 vision in that right eye. She has, I mean, it's 20/20 vision. It's just incredible. That's good news. And don't get mad at me when I say this, okay? If you get mad, just talk to Paula tomorrow. But don't tell me, it'll hurt. If you're blind and your eyes opened, that's good news. If you have cancer and cancer is annihilated, that's good news. If you're on your way to a funeral that you didn't want to attend because your child was way too young and Jesus brings that boy back from the grave, that's good news. You see, we have a habit of saying the good news is Jesus hung on a cross and he died and he rose again to save us from our sins. Oh, believe me, that's amazing news. But that amazing news carries all of these other things with it, that when we learn to give them in every situation, that actually will bring people to the amazing news. You see, if Azra didn't know Jesus, don't you think that having her right eye opened might be an indication that you can come on into the kingdom of heaven now? You think maybe it could, but, well, Pastor Brad, that was just God's will in her life. Well, let me just tell you this. I tend to look at every situation that it is God's will for healing to happen. Now, that doesn't mean everybody I've prayed for has been healed. Okay? Why are you focusing on healing? I'm not. It's just one of the ones that we get hung up on. So it's kind of an easy one to use as an example. John the Baptist was in prison. He sent word to Jesus, are you the one that was to come, or should we expect someone else? You remember the story? Now, when I'm in my prisons, when I'm in my moments, there are times that I've said, Lord, are you still here? Lord, are you everything that you promised you? I remember John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus, he's like, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. If anybody knew that Jesus was the one, John the Baptist knew. But in that moment, he was having a moment. He sends his disciples to ask him, are you the one that was to come, or should we expect someone else? And Jesus replied, go back and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured. The deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. They take off and they go back to go report to John, and then Jesus tells everybody else there what a great guy that John is, right? Do you know that eventually John got decapitated in that situation? Okay, he still suffered. He still faced moments. But Jesus' answer was, I'm doing what the Messiah is supposed to do. The Messiah is supposed to liberate the oppressed, to free the captive. Now, as sons and daughters of the Messiah, we're supposed to do the same thing. Let me ask the Bible trivia experts out there. Where were we in the scriptures, where were we first referred to as Christians? Said it. Antioch. How many of you knew that? You didn't want to say it because you were embarrassed, but you knew it. How are you still wondering if it might have been Philippi? Okay, it wasn't. It was Antioch, all right? We were first called Christians in Antioch. Now, does it bother you if somebody's a follower of Christ but they don't call themselves a Christian? Now, I know I'm splitting hairs, but let's just have fun for a second. Can we have fun in church? Like one Wednesday every 6 months? Is that okay? So we'll just have fun for a second. Do you realize that all these people that were following Jesus weren't called Christians until the world labeled them as Christians? In Antioch, people in the world said, oh, they're Christians. It was never a name they put on themselves, which leads to a question. Why did they call them Christians anyway? Well, Christian comes from the word Christ, which is from the word Messiah, which, have you ever heard Yeshua HaMashiach? Jesus the Messiah, right? HaMashiach means the anointed one. So literally what they were saying was, wow, they're HaMashiachs. They're anointed ones. Why did they say that about them? Because they were at church every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, prayer revival. They tithed and they brought in a shoebox for the poor. Right? No, and I'm not saying that those things aren't good things. But you know why they called them HaMashiachs? Because they were like Jesus before the bracelet. Not one of them had a WWJD bracelet. But you know what they were doing? WWJD. When they saw the blind, they prayed for them till their eyes were open. When they saw the poor, they fed them. They were doing the things that Jesus did so well that people went, wow, they're, you ready for this? Christian literally means little Christs. They're like little Jesuses. Now, I'm not being a blasphemer. Wouldn't it be cool if somebody said of you, man, you're like a little Jesus. You're like a little Jesus. How many are you thinking, I need to lose some weight if I'm going to be a little Jesus? How many are you thinking? Now, if me talking like this offends you or hurts you, then you need to look and go, is religion getting upset in my life right now? Because what I'm bringing out is just what the scriptures are saying. So if it's aggravating you at all, then you kind of need to look inward for a second and go, why am I getting upset by this? Because all they were doing was the things that Jesus did, and for that they called them a Christian. They didn't label themselves that. The world said that about them. But why did the world say it? Because they were all Republican conservatives? Oh, dear God, no. No. The world said it because when they looked at them, they went, they're doing the same thing Jesus did. How many of you ever heard the story that Jesus rose from the grave? Is anybody here? How many of this brand new information? Okay, all right. Do you remember after he rose from the grave, do you remember how long he was with his disciples before he ascended to heaven? 40 days. That number 40 is over and over again in the scriptures, isn't it? I mean, we could recount them, but you guys know them, so I won't. It's over and over again. So Jesus, he comes back from the dead, spends the next 40 days with his disciples. He goes up to the Mount of Olives, and were there olives there, or is it just a title? I don't know. But anyway, they went up to the Mount of Olives, and they were all in a little jar, and they had a little red pimento. But anyway, so they went up to the Mount of Olives, and they're there, and Jesus says, hey, this is what you're going to do. Go down to Jerusalem and pray for a while. And I'm going to send my Holy Spirit. You're going to be clothed with power, and great things are going to happen in your life. So they went back, and they prayed for 10 days. And on the 10th day after, so what would have been the 50th day, which we all know Pentecost, right? Which is why we're Pentecostal. It's not because we give pennies in the offering. I want you to know that right now. Quit dropping in your pennies and saying, we're Pentecostal. No, that is not what it's about. Pentecost is a Greek word from the Hebrew word Shavuot. Shavuot means the first fruits. Okay? Oh, they were celebrating bringing in the harvest. No, they weren't. That's our Western interpretation. The first fruits were that God had provided his Torah, his word, to mankind. Remember when Moses went up and spent some time on Mount Sinai and he received the word from God? And then he came down to present it and all God's people were messed up. Remember that whole situation? That was Shavuot, the day that God gave them a divine word. I think it's kind of interesting because on the first Shavuot or Pentecost, after Jesus ascended from heaven, God gave them a divine word and they begin to speak in other languages that nobody taught them. Isn't that kind of cool? By the way, just for fun facts, did you know on the first Shavuot, when Moses came down and he saw all the things that were going on that were absolutely deplorable, do you remember the story? People were worshiping a golden calf, right? I mean, this is even before Chick-fil-A, and they're worshiping this golden calf. And Moses says, strap a sword to your side and kill them because God's going to kill all of us. And it says how many people died that day. Do you remember? Scripture says about 3,000 died. Now, isn't that interesting that on the first Shavuot after Jesus ascended to heaven, when he filled them with the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Peter stepped out, he preached the message, and what does God's word say about how many people were saved? About 3,000. So the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life.
And we'll argue about the instructions, we'll argue about religion, we'll argue about the laws, and the Lord's saying, I've given you the Spirit not to argue, but to give them life. I have found,
how much time do I have? I didn't even ask. What time do you guys get done? 8:50. Oh, I've got like 30 more minutes. Okay, I'll speed up. All right, so 8:15. How many appreciate that the guest speaker would actually know when you're supposed to leave? Thank you. That's the best response I've had from you all night. I'll tell you that right now. Thank you. I appreciate your honesty. All right, I appreciate it. Okay. All right, where was I? I'm here, but I completely forgot where I was. All right, so thank you. 3,000 saved. The Spirit gives them, 3,000 people are brought to the kingdom that day, which is remarkable. Now, when I was brought up in the church, and I'd read about Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2 before that, you know, big ball of fire came down and all that happened. In Acts 1, it says that he spent 40 days talking to them about the kingdom of heaven. My mind would go to the place heaven. And I thought, man, 40 days telling them about the pearly gates. And I've got a mansion just over the hilltop. Remember that one? And that's what he's talking about. He's talking about the mansion and the streets of gold and the throne and wow, right? And is my puppy going to be there? You know, maybe, if you're lucky. I don't, you know, he's talking to him about heaven. And then it finally hit me. I hate to admit how old I was before it hit me. He didn't spend 40 days talking to them about the place heaven. He spent 40 days talking to them about the kingdom, Greek word, you know it, basileia. But what do we say? Basileia. The basileia of heaven. Which tells me, I've heard people say, you know, when Jesus left, that's when the signs and wonders were supposed to end. Well, if that's the case, why did he spend 40 more days talking to the disciples about that, about the kingdom of heaven, and then filling them with his Holy Spirit so that they could go out and demonstrate the kingdom of heaven everywhere they went? Do you realize the anointing was so strong on the Apostle Peter that literally when he would walk the streets, people were healed when his shadow touched them? Now think about a shadow. A shadow isn't anything. It's actually the absence of something. Right? It literally is nothing. Have you ever wanted to see nothing? Look at a shadow. Because it's an image of the absence of something. The absence of, and yet the absence of something under the anointing still brings healing. It's remarkable. So why am I saying this to this incredible group of people that's at church on a Wednesday night? Honestly, because you are an incredible group of people at church on a Wednesday night. But I'm tired of just having church on Wednesday night. Well, you're right. We need to have special services. No, I'm seriously. I'm sick of special services. We all have the anointing of heaven. I'd love to see Jesus sooner. I remember my grandma used to say, you know, Brad, she'd say Bradley. You know, Bradley, I really think I'm going to be alive when Jesus comes back. I really feel like I'm going to be alive when Jesus comes back. Let me ask you this. How many of you have ever had a dear person that you love, older than you, that has said that same kind of thing? Okay, let's follow it up. How many of you that dear person is gone? Okay. God's word says that we can speed his coming. You can read it in 2 Peter for yourself. It says you can speed the coming of the Lord. And if you take that and you put it with Matthew 24, when Jesus said the good news of the kingdom will be preached to all nations, then the end will come. So if we, Pastor Brad, Jerusalem and Israel's established now and they're talking about building the temple. And I don't know if God really gives much of a rip about the temple. My body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And I know that they're going to eventually rebuild that temple, but right now, you're the temple. Didn't you used to sing it? Know ye not, know ye not, ye are the temple. Know ye not, ye are the temple. How many remember it? Know ye not, ye are the temple. I am the temple of the Holy Ghost. Filled with. Come on, Paula, you know it. She's reading my notes. She's reading my, no, she's really not. I don't use notes when I hate them. Anyway, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We don't need to have a temple rebuilt for the glory of the Lord to come. God's word says that we have a glory that's greater than the glory that Moses had. Moses had a glory that he would experience, but when he walked away, what would happen? His face would begin to fade the longer he was away, so he would go back and he would begin to shine again. Paul told the Corinthians, hey, you've been given an ever-increasing glory. We have something, it doesn't get less, it gets better. People say, I just wish I had the heart that I used to when I first gave my life to Jesus. You still have that heart. Just say, Lord, release your glory through me in a greater way. I am 48 years old, and I get fired up when people get healed. I haven't lost that. I love it. I love it. We got to pray with a young lady that was deaf. She came forward, this last story, and then I'll bless you, okay? She came forward. You got to love the irony of this. We were having a special worship night. She can't hear, but she shows up. What deaf person comes to a worship night when we don't even have an interpreter? You know what I mean? But she did. And I'm like, you got to love this. And so her sister's there. Her sister's interpreting for her. By the way, it's the only time she's ever been in our church. So when you see the miracles of God and the signs and wonders of God, it's not about your church growing. Okay? It's about the kingdom of heaven growing on earth so that the earth is filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord like the waters cover the sea. I'm preaching it tonight, church. All right? I mean, that's what it's about. So I'm like, the Lord spoke to me, and he said, everyone that needs healing tonight, if you'll come forward, he'll heal you. I mean, I heard him loud and clear. Everyone. Pastor Brad, that's kind of bold. I only was that bold because I know what I heard. Now, I thought it was amazing. It was a special worship night. Our church was hosting it for an event. Joy FM was there. It was more about Joy FM than it was about Faith Chapel. And we had all sorts of denominations, all sorts of this and all sorts of that. Two people came forward. Two people. I'm like, are you kidding me? God is announcing that he'll heal anybody tonight. And only two people came forward. Now, the first guy that came forward, I won't mock him, but as he walked down, it was like that. And it was noticeable, and I'll guarantee you everybody was staring as he came down. And there was this little part of me, because how many have a lot of faith, and then sometimes it shrinks? There's this little part of me, I'm like, Jesus, I did hear from you, right? I heard from you, Jesus. You said, everybody, right, Lord, right? Jesus, you there? Check, check. Mike, is this thing working, Jesus? Okay. The guy came down, and man, the Lord's so good. He said, just have him sit down and stand up. So he comes down, and I said, I just feel like you're supposed to sit down. And I thought, I'll ask him what the problem is, because Jesus always asks people, what can I pray with you about? Because they might have something else on their heart. I'm like, what can I pray with you about? He said, my legs haven't worked for years. And I said, well, Jesus told me to have you sit down so that when you stand up, you'd be healed. Brother, why don't you just stand up and be healed? And as he stood up, you heard the snapping of bones and joints into place. And I'm telling you, he walked out standing up straight without a limp. Just, it was incredible. So I'm watching several people look, jaws are dropped, right? Some churches, they don't practice that, so I'm sure it was a little shocking. Well, then the other person that came down was this girl, and her sister brought her. And I said, well, what's going on? And she said, my sister's deaf. And she goes, she has a smidgey of hearing in her left ear. She has none in her right ear. So I looked at her and I said, ma'am, I said, well, what would you like? Would you like your left ear healed? Would you like your right ear healed? What would you like? And she said, does it matter? I'm like, well, I've been rebuked. Okay. So I don't know why, but probably because I'm human. How many humans in here tonight? Good. Most of you raised your hands. So there's a few others. God bless you as well. We thank you for being here. It's always good to meet the rest of us. But I stalled for a second. Faith got a little weak for a second because everybody's staring. And sometimes we feel like it's on us when ultimately it's not on us. We're just releasing what he's given us. But nonetheless, I took a look. It wasn't with the same confidence that I had for this guy who literally was just healed. Isn't it amazing that we can just see a miracle and we can still be doubters? It's just craziness. And so I start praying with her, and I speak to her ear and get fired up and try to release every bit of anointing I've ever had in my life. And Bob Skibo, I don't know if you know the Skibo name. There are Christians in her, Bob and Kristen Skibo, and great people. And Bob said, Pastor Brad, she's healed. Like, come on, right? Pastor Brad, she's healed. And I'm like, can you hear me? She goes, oh my God. And I went, yes, it was. Because Lord knows it wasn't me, right? It was incredible, absolutely incredible. Both ears completely open. Her sister grabbed her cell phone. They called her mom, or they from a, some somewhere in Illinois. That right ear had been completely deaf. You know what she did? She put that phone right up to her right ear and had a conversation with her mother. It was amazing. It was amazing. I just think that there's so much power and authority in this room. You guys know it. You know your body's a temple of the Holy Spirit. You know you've been saved from so much. And I just think it would be really cool if people in St. Charles County called us Christians. Because we're little anointed ones. Not because they see we packed out the parking lot on Sunday. Even though it's a great place to be built up and strengthened and fellow. I'm a pastor, for crying out loud. But you know, I have found that praying for people in the mall works. I've got stories all the time of people in our church praying for their person that's in the little cubicle next to them. I mean, it works because he really is everywhere. And because he's in you, you carry him everywhere. So let's recap my points tonight. Basileia, you have the authority of the kingdom. Jesus told you to pray for it. Jesus said to everybody, hey, turn over here. I have it. And then he told the disciples to do the same thing. Hey, repent. Look over here. You're wondering where the authority is? It's right here. In the name of Jesus, such as I have, I give to you. And my goodness, the gates of hell can't prevail against God's people. Right? Let's stand. I'm going to bless you guys. I'm going to bless you guys. 8:15, we almost did it. That's not too bad. We almost did it. When you don't have time to prepare, you tend to preach longer. That's kind of the way it works. You tend to preach longer. So I am honored that Paula asked Beth if we were available. And we think a lot of Paula and Jason. We think about them a lot because we're constantly worried about them. No, they carry the authority of the Lord on their life. They do. And I know that they just so desire to see God's people walking in that authority of the Lord. And I so appreciate, we believe in healing and the miracles of the Lord. And our oldest daughter, Emma, was in a migraine battle last year. And we could not seem to get breakthrough in that area. And we were praying for her. We were anointing her. I mean, I'm sure you've been there too. How many of you have done everything you know how to do at times? You've done everything. You quoted every scripture. You've released every prayer. You've cast out every devil. And the Lord spoke to us to ask Jason and Paula to come. And they came over and they went right upstairs, and our house was a mess, and right into Emma's bedroom. And they laid hands on her and they prayed over her. And in less than 5 minutes, a 2.5 week migraine was broken. It was absolutely broken. And you don't forget things like that. You don't forget things. And I've like, Lord, how come I didn't? And I'll be honest, I think sometimes as parents, we get fearful because we're so desperate for our own kids that we start to partner with fear rather than faith. You know what I'm talking? How many have prayed in fear before and you know it? God isn't moved by fear. He's moved by faith. I'll quit preaching. God, I thank you for your people. They're amazing. I thank you for your love for them.